So last week it was a big story because we had this man named Stephen, and I won't start over, all right? Because that was a long one, wasn't it, Robbie? Some of you got three naps. It was so long. But I had to tell you what Stephen said. And because, you know, he was asked a question. He's like, are you guilty of this blasphemy? And like a good lawyer, he didn't answer that question. He just starts telling them the truth. Let me tell you about Moses and Abraham. And he goes through the whole story of the Bible to defend himself. And he says, you know, you've got it all wrong. You're the leaders of the church and you've got it all wrong. Don't you see? What you were looking for has come and you killed him. You kill all the prophets and they lose their minds and they say, you broke the law. And they judge him and they break the law, don't they? They get people who lie against him and they execute them. They're not allowed to execute people. They break the law because someone else broke, they think broke the law. And what was he telling them? The truth. And so we see now the establishment is losing their minds. And there's over 5,000 disciples of Jesus in the city. And this thing is growing. And people are selling their land. And they're selling their houses. And they're bringing it. And they're sharing. And this movement is getting out of hand. They've got to stop it. And so they send all the, you know, they get the Pharisees, they get the palace guard to go out there and persecute people. And so like men like Stephen who are speaking the truth, and what's he doing wrong? He's feeding the poor, isn't he? He's feeding the widows and the homeless. And so they execute him, they stone him to death, and there's this man named Saul who's approving of it. And he holds their coat so everyone can get a good stone and make a good throw, and he approves of this slaughter. So here in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, on that day, a great persecution broke out. They're losing their mind. They said, let's get them all. Let's round them all up. And all the except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So they were leaving Jerusalem for their own safety. And godly men buried Stephen, and they mourned for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. He was going from house to house, and he dragged off both men and women, and he put them in prison. Next week, we're going to learn more about Saul and what he became. And those who had been scattered, they preached the word wherever they went. So a man named Philip, he went down to a city in Samaria, and he proclaimed the Messiah there. And when the crowds heard Philip, and they saw the signs that he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city in Samaria. I had to double check this because there's two Philips, isn't there? There's Philip from John chapter 1, right? He's the one who tells Nathanael about Jesus. You got to meet this Jesus. And so Philip, Jesus, Nathanael says nothing good comes from Nazareth, right? And so he gets to meet Jesus. And we see Philip again. He's the one who asks, what did I write here? He also helps feed the 5,000, right? He's like, how are we going to do this? We don't have enough food. We don't have enough money. Jesus is like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You always worry about it. Don't worry about it, Nancy. There's going to be enough food, isn't there? Always will be. There'll be plenty. We'll whip out the cornflakes, you know, we'll do something. But there's always going to be enough. He's also at the Last Supper. He says, show us the Father. And Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And he's there in Acts again, in Acts 23, where Paul heads through Caesarea and he meets Philip and he's got four daughters, right? So he's... That's the wrong one. That's Philip the disciple. This is Philip the evangelist. Remember, he picked seven to go feed the people. He picked Stephen, and he picked Nicanor, and he picked all these guys, and he picked Philip. This is Philip the evangelist. He's one of the seven. He's the one that goes to Samaria. He's the one in Acts 21 that Paul meets again and reconnects, you know, after Paul tries to kill him and everyone else. All is forgiven, right? You got it straight now? The two Philips. This is the evangelist. This is important because I get up here and I go, what's the truth? I can't tell you, spin a yarn, right? I got to give it to you straight. So now they're preaching in Samaria. You guys remember the story of Samaria, right? You were here on my day when I got, not indicted, that's not the word, ordained, that's the word. These legal terms, they had ordained you when you all were here, and we talked about Jesus going to Samaria, meeting the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. We know the story of the Good Samaritan, where of all people to help, they helped. So now they're going up to Samaria, and people are believing. They're believing there. Isn't it great? Now, for some time, a man named Simon, who was practicing sorcery in the city, and he amazed the people, and he boasted that he was someone great. We watched a magic show the other night on Netflix. You remember the guy's name, Amanda? Neither do I, but he was amazing. It is sorcery, friend. They're still doing sorcery. Like he took somebody's cell phone and crushed it, you know, and then it was in the third row in somebody's pocket ringing. Like, how did it get there, you know? And it's voodoo. I don't know how they do it, friend. It's all, you know, like this. Like, where's my ring? It's in the hand, you know? That stuff. Amazing. And they're still doing it today. This man is called the great power of God, and they followed him because they were amazed for a long time with his sorcery. But here comes Peter and John. But they believed that Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. Simon himself, he believed, and he was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere he went. He was astonished by his great signs and the miracles that he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word, they sent Peter and John to there. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come. They had been baptized, an outward sign of their faith, but the Spirit has come upon them. And Simon saw the Spirit that was given in the laying on of hands, and he said, I want this. Can I have this power? I'll pay you for it. And Peter says, no, God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart, right? He wants it all. We saw this with Ananias and Sapphira, didn't they? When they said they sold everything they had and they brought it all, but they didn't bring it all. They were holding back. This is that story. And they were struck dead. And Simon is, and we call that's a term today. Anyone know the term simony? It's when you buy and sell ecclesiastical positions. Bet we don't do it anymore, but back then, you know, simony was a thing. And after they proclaimed the word of God and they testified about Jesus, Peter and John, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Here's our big story. Today was the main part of my message is this. It's now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace. Candace, which means the queen of Ethiopia. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Ethiopia is not anywhere near Jerusalem, is it? Closer than we are. It's a 38-day walk. Guess who Google mapped it this morning? Me. It's a long walk. Have you ever seen pictures of Ethiopia? We've heard about the famines and things and the civil wars, but my goodness, what a beautiful place. The jungles, the hills, the beautiful deserts. They have they have 134 million people, and 70 million of them are Christians. Have you seen the churches in Ethiopia? They're like underground. It's like a stone, and they're cut out of one piece of stone underground. So you see right over them, but then you go down into them, and they're amazing sights, and they're on 60 Minutes. We watched that episode and repairing them. And so it's quite a faithful country. Of course, there's still civil war. And we know that Eritrea, the city above it, the country above it, broke away from them. So now they're a landlocked country. And they spend one-third of their money, their electricity, on data mining. Anyone know what that is? Yes. Do you understand it? Can you explain it to us?
Basically, depending on what you log into or what sites you visit, your activity on the internet can be mined, or even perhaps your own personal information can be mined from your cell phone or from your computer, and then sold to other companies to either do nefarious things or just market you to death.
And it takes a lot of energy.
Correct.
To run these computers. And they're selling this, Fidelity. You guys like Fidelity Investments, right, up there in Pennsylvania, not far. You know, they got the AIM, they got all these mutual funds. They do very well, the Magellan and things, you know. They sell it. So the companies you trust are selling all this, whatever that is. And Ethiopia is spending one-third of their electricity to run these computers, and they need more. And more. And you make money if you do a block of this stuff, and they give you a puzzle, and you figure it all out, you get money, and then they give you another one. I don't understand, Robbie. We build stuff, right? I hang sheetrock, and then I fix it. You know, I pick up horse manure, and they give me $20. That I understand. I don't understand any of this. Do you, Fran? How do they make money? You put oil, we change oils in cars, right? We don't do this. That's Ethiopia. That's what they're. So that's Ethiopia today. And so it's quite a. And one thing you would recognize an Ethiopian when you saw him, because they're very, very dark skinned, as you know. And so here he is. He's an Ethiopian eunuch, and I promised I wouldn't go into detail, you know, what that entitles, because, you know, we have children here, but the parents will have to explain that tonight. So anyway, this man, he's not given a name, and he works for the queen, so he has a high position, and he's going all the way, 38-day walk from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. Let's hear how it went. And on his way home, he's sitting in his chariot and he's reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I? Unless somebody explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Can you imagine the scene? The Spirit is God, right? God says, Philip, I got something for you to do. You better listen to me, right? Go chase that chariot. Chariots are faster than us, right, Fran? So here's Philip running down the road. And hey, how you doing? You understand what you're reading? It kind of makes me laugh, thinking, okay, I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. And now he sees, do you understand that? It's a tricky one. We're going to read it right now, right? Right, Jim? We're going to read Isaiah 53. So here's what he's reading. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a tender shoot and like out of a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance so that we should desire him. He was despised and he was rejected by man. He was a man of suffering, and he was familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain, and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid the iniquity of him on all of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Who is he talking about? Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. That's the Old Testament. 400 years before, right? You know, they don't read this. This is the forbidden chapter to a Jew. They don't allow their kids to read it. They don't teach it in Jewish schools. They skip over this. They can't have this. Who is it? Who was pierced for our transgressions? By whose wounds are we healed, Keith? We know it's Jesus. Gosh, does that stick out? So if you're from Ethiopia, you don't know much about the New Testament. And who is this? Is this the people of Israel? The man wants to know, who is this? He wants to be a Jew. That's what he knows. He's got the Old Testament, so he's going to Jerusalem. He's going there to worship. And when he gets there, what's he going to find out? He's not allowed in. He's an outsider. He's not welcome. He can surely come to the court of the women, and he can drop his bag of money there, but he's not allowed in. He walks in that door, he will be executed. He can't come for another reason, that he's a foreigner. And the reason number two is he's a eunuch. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1 says, he cannot come into the house of the Lord. He is not fit because he was. You're not welcome. Who is this? It's Jesus. The eunuch asked Philip, please tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And so what does Philip do? He does what Stephen did last week, right? He starts at the beginning. Let me explain it all to you. Sometimes I'll be working with my brother and he'll ask me a question about you know, religion, about our faith, about Jesus. And where do I start, Keith? You got to know Abraham. You've been around. You got to know the Pharisees and Abraham. If you want to catch up with me. It always goes back to Abraham, doesn't it? We can go back to Adam and Eve. That's when we want to talk about sin. But we always go back. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Abraham first. We studied the book of Leviticus a couple years ago, and it took 6 weeks to get to the start. You just don't start at page one. You know, you got to set the stage, right? So what does he do? He tells them the whole story about Jesus. He told him the good news. And as they were traveling along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. We stopped right there. This is a problem. Why does he's converted, right? We're saying he wants to be baptized, but it doesn't tell us. So the funny thing is, if you look at the New King James Version, because you know I like to read the New International Version, which most people say, don't read. And that's what I read every week, because that was Jim Jones said to read it. Tom Connolly said to read it. I'm going to read that one. It's the one I like. Cheryl, I like that one. But you sometimes got to look. And so our version doesn't have it, but the New King James Version does. And the King James Version is very good. I like what I like. Then Philip said, according to the King James Version, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And the eunuch answered and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't know why that didn't get put in other Bibles, but that's the only version that has that. That's it. That's what he says. I believe. He wanted to be a Jew. He wanted to worship God, but now he knows about his son. And he's converted. So what's next? The next step is the outward appearances. He says, then Philip and the eunuch, they went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up from the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. He's no longer rejected, is he? He's rejected in the temple. But he's not rejected here, is he? He's accepted. He's accepted by God in his grace. Who is this man? You know, if you were to go on and continue to read the book of Isaiah, you see the eunuch goes from Ethiopia and takes that 40-day journey. He goes up he gets to the temple, and he's not allowed in because of who he is. He's an outsider. And he says, this is what the Lord said. We read this Thursday night. At the board meeting, we said, maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps her hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch say, I'm only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord said, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give my temple and its walls, a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and let his servants to keep all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will give them joy in my house of prayer. Their offerings and their sacrifices, they will be accepted at my altar, for my house will be called a what? A house of prayer for all nations. Who said that, Joey? Jesus. Jesus is always the answer, right, Keith? Who said that? Jesus, where? At the temple. Remember he went in and he flipped everything over and he said, this is a house of prayer. What's he telling us? All the foreigners are welcome. You're a foreigner. We're the foreigners into this whole thing. He says, eunuchs, you're not going to be a dry tree. You know what that means. He can't have kids. He says, I'm going to give you something better than sons and daughters. Sons and daughters, they carry on our name, right? Right, Robbie? Two of them carrying on that wonderful name of yours. And we're expecting grandkids anytime soon, all right? We need that name to carry on. We're not getting any younger. What will he give us? Something better. This is what the eunuch comes for. He doesn't, and this is what he gets. He's not accepted, now he is. He's made right. Isn't this good news? We're foreigners. We're made right in God's eyes. What we bring to him will be accepted by him. He's going to give us something better. He's going to give us a new place, not the country. We love this country. We're going to go to a better one. We are citizens of something better. As great as America is, and it is great, Scotland, as great as Scotland is, no, excuse me, they got the best orange soda over there. It's awesome. Did you have it? I got some at my house. If you were to come today, you can get some. You go to sleep. She's tired. She all wore out. You know, I was talking to my daughter about you the other night that you couldn't come. And I said, you know what Mary Beth needs? And guess what my daughter said? She needs you, Dad. I planned Madeline's wedding, you know.
Oh.
I did it all. My daughter, she didn't know what she was doing. I'll take it. My wife's making the money. I got, you know, I work for myself. You know, I'll take care of this, you know. I handle all that. I go to the DJ. We went to his house. He was pumping. He's got everything there. And he shows us how he does, what he does. I'm like, well, you're hired. He goes, all right. That was it. And they mixed the music. We will. He was.
All right, back to
him. But anyway. Where was I? House of prayer for all nations, right? Yep. Jesus changes everything. We read the Old Testament. We're trying to follow God. We think it's by our actions. Our sacrifices will save us. The blood of the animals that we sacrifice will save us. And it's never, never enough. And Jesus says, I'm the final sacrifice. This is all you need is me. Believe in me and you will be with the Father one day. We will be together. This is a house of prayer for all nations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the old and we thank you for the new. The old points to you, and Jesus, you're on every page in the Old Testament. And then you come to us. You come to us to fulfill the law, not to break the law, but to fulfill it, to make everything right again, to turn all the curses around, to turn the curse of sin into an act of love. We thank you. You fulfilled all the prophecies. We see it clearly. We know it and we feel it, and we want to share it with all the nations. All are welcome to come to the house of the Lord. All are welcome to receive you. And so we pray as a people. We are grateful. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are truly blessed. Amen.